The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the ring, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, giving 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 229th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz, and I am the host of this lovely show. And joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how are you doing?
Dude, I've learned the secret to a successful NCAA bracket. You know what the secret is? Don't watch college basketball all year.
Yep, just go completely blind.
Go completely blind. Yesterday I went 13-3. Today I think I've only lost one game, and it wasn't Auburn and Yale. I actually put Yale on my bracket.
You actually went with Yale. You know what? Fair enough to you.
Yeah, let me tell you about my system. It's a system. I pick all the ones. I pick all the twos. I pick all the threes. Just like, screw it, you know? But like, if you think about one where if you're a 1-4 seed, they can consider you the top 16 teams in the country, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Between 1 and 16, you're pretty much elite, right? 17 through 50, you know, or 17 through 40, there's really not a lot of difference in those teams, right? They all have clear strengths and clear weaknesses, right? So that's when I like. So when it gets down to like the fifth seed, I make myself pick two of the lower seeds in each one. I don't know anything about the teams. This is all math, right? Two of the lower seeds, right? At least two. So I went through like that and did that. And then, so pretty much after the four seed, I treat everything else like it's an 8-9 game.
Okay.
Because, honestly, there's not a lot of difference between the team that's, like, the 17th team in the country and, like, the 50th team in the country. They are going to have glaring weaknesses and glaring strengths. And not trying to be an expert, you know, I'm just picking randomly, seems to have worked better than the years where I've watched college basketball all year and decided I know who the better teams are.
Right.
Because I think I'm going to finish 13-3 again this week. So that's going to put me at 26-6 for the first round. And the first first college basketball game I watched was yesterday.
That's pretty big. Meanwhile, I hate making brackets, dude, because like I work in sports, so I look like a jackass when I do bad. But I've got 20 games right currently, so I've gotten a good amount wrong. I've already missed an Elite Eight team is out for me, and a Sweet 16 team is out for me as well. I'm just like, I'm struggling, I will say. That being said, I'm killing it in the West. In the West, I haven't missed a single fucking game.
Hell yeah. I like I said, and if you hear it, this has no skill on my part. This is dumb luck. I want everyone to know this. I don't know. I was literally talking to my friend Jason, and I was like, I can name more active women college basketball players than I could name men.
Yeah, I mean, dude, the women are taking over too. Yeah. With the with that. So
yeah, it's like, you know, I got like, oh, Caitlin Clark, this, you know, just going through the names. I'm like, I just know more women's basketball players than men.
Sure.
Because the elite women's basketball players still play in college basketball. The elite men's basketball players go straight in the NBA. Yeah, so it's like the number one draft pick coming up this year is probably not going to be in college. He's going to
I just want my Detroit Pistons to get Caitlin Clark, because honestly, it's the only thing that will save us at this point.
Wow, that's funny. I remember in the 80s, I know before you were born, it was really, because Cheryl Miller was scoring like stupid amounts per game. And like considered her getting drafted to the NBA. That was considered. And because she could just ball. And it was just like, yeah. No, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But basically, yeah, Floyd's doing better in his bracket than I am, because, yeah, he's going by his math logic as opposed to me, who, you know, I know Oakland basketball. I know who Gokey is. You defend the three-pointer actually somewhat decently, and that kid falls apart. You didn't defend the three. You let him make 10 three-pointers, and they beat you, Kentucky. Y'all suck.
He got hot.
Oh, he did. That man got – he was cooking.
Yeah. They ain't no Cinderella.
Ain't no Cinderella for those boys. Shout out to the Golden Grizzlies, our boys in Oakland. My cousin went to Oakland, so that's awesome.
I swear, I thought it was Oakland, California.
Nope.
I didn't even know there was Oakland, Michigan.
Yeah, the Golden Grizzlies, dog. Yeah, those are some good dudes.
Yeah, they pulled it off. Yeah. Shout out to
them. Yeah, and of course, with the NCAA tournament going on, tying this back to AEW, we had a massive Wednesday take place and a short week in AEW because of the NCAA tournament taking up all of Turner Broadcasting moving forward into this week and for the next few weeks, honestly. Excuse me. So we got a lot to talk about not a ton to talk about for once, because everything was condensed onto Wednesday. So we're going to get into the AEW Dynamite and Rampage super show, I guess we'll call it, that went up for 3 hours. Before we get into everything, though, we want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on Google or Apple Podcasts. And if you listen to us on Spotify or wherever you choose to listen to us, please give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe, and so you do not miss a single episode. And if you guys enjoy the show, you can also follow us on social. You can follow us on Twitter at @ATElitePod. And you can also follow us at Social Suplex, who make this show possible and have a bunch of other great podcasts you guys should check out. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And that is the news of the week, is this short week of AEW. Everything was condensed into Wednesday. There was no Collision, and Collision's going to be gone for a little while the NCAA tournament is in full swing. So it's going to be like we had Rampage and Dynamite combined on this Wednesday. So we got all of that bunched into one.
I do want to throw a disclaimer out, because I just got this email today. So most of you probably already know this. I keep my head in the sand sometimes when it comes to news. April 2nd, 2024, you will no longer be able to listen to your podcast on Google Podcasts. You'll still have them. You still have through July 29, 2004 to migrate your podcast show subscriptions to YouTube Music, or download a file of your show subscription so you can upload to the app that supports their import. So, yes. So Google Podcasts is basically telling you to go to YouTube Music. Google Podcasts is dying, which is funny, because like, that's all I've ever used. This will be my first time switching to something that's not Google Podcasts.
Yeah, so just for the time being, though, yeah, it's still on for now, but it'll be switching over to YouTube
in like
very quickly.
To 13 days. That's why I said something. It's like, it's not very far away.
But moving forward on this short week of AEW, we'll get right into AEW Dynamite, which started off the night with taking place in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And the show opened up with the CEO, Mercedes Moné, coming out and introducing herself, saying how she introducing Toronto as their new CEO and how she's still on a high after big business, and talked about her excitement in AEW, about being in AEW. But this almost got taken away from me 10 months ago, because she almost had a career ending injury in a match against Willow Nightingale. But this is in the past. I'm in a new home in AEW. A lot of people may not know, you may not know who Mercedes Moné is. And then the production truck then proceeded to play a highlight reel, basically, of Mercedes. And she said she was rocking, rolling, kicking butt. And then it was taken away. And I needed to be back. I needed to be here. Minor setbacks make for major comebacks. And now I'm here as your CEO. And not to lead a women's evolution, because she's done that before. She's leading a women's global revolution and wants to face the very best women in AEW and all around the globe. Tying into the fact that she also gets to work in Japan as well. And she said, now last week, Julia Hart and Sky Blue attacked Willow. Now they must have not heard that I have unfinished business with Willow. And anybody who messes with my business will get bankrupt. And that there's a price to pay when you mess with Mercedes Moné. Lights go dark, and when they come back on, Julia Hart is in the aisle and she's just staring at Mercedes and she's smirking. Sky Blue then proceeds to try to jump her, and then Mercedes is not gonna let that happen. Sky Blue gets dropped by Mercedes. Julia then gets in and she proceeds to get in there. She's almost put in for the moneymaker by Mercedes, which is the name of her finisher, and then Sky Blue pulls her away to safety. They then pulled out steel chairs. They're looking to get in the ring, and that's when Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander came down. They had chairs of their own, and they came to the aid. But then eventually, the lights went dark. When they came back on, it looked like Willow was going to hit Mercedes for a moment, but then she put it down. So there is that. And then Mercedes then proceeded to point at Willow, being like, I got my eye on you, and you're not gonna get me because I know what you did already. So. It was a nice little segment to get some storyline moving forward, and I like the fact that they're starting with something that already has history with it between her and Willow Nightingale from their work in New Japan Strong and all that. So I like the fact that we're already starting off very smoothly for Mercedes' transition into AEW. I think this is going to work really well. And Julia being involved too, and Sky Blue as well, I think is awesome.
So, thoughts on this? I actually have a few thoughts. First of all, promo was rough.
Yeah, I was gonna say I like the way that she was set up for storyline, but it was a pretty
like the concept was great. The delivery was she's getting her legs under her. That is my proclivity of positivity way of looking at it. She's getting her legs under her. So right. Maybe it takes her a few weeks. She's been off for a long time. Talking in front of live crowds. I know she's been doing it in years, but she's going away. So maybe, you know, give her a few weeks. That I felt like it was rough. It felt scripted. Like, I've heard scripted promos that don't feel scripted. This felt scripted. And it might not have been, you know, I don't know. But it just felt like she was trying to remember what she was saying. I'm not going to say that one. All right, the Willow thing. Very confusing. It goes against Willow.
Chair shot looking like, yeah.
It goes completely against who Willow is, just in general. She, like, only thing Sasha has, I mean, or, excuse me, I call it Mercedes has done. Only thing Mercedes has done is try to help her. And, you know, Mercedes got hurt in her match with Willow. It wasn't like Willow was turning or anything. It was just freak injury. So it's like, why is Willow thinking about hitting Mercedes with the chair? That didn't make any sense at the time. I'm reacting now. So they may go back and, you know, give us more information over the next few weeks. Maybe Mercedes has threatened Willow or whatever, but it's just in real time, as a fan reacting to the show, it's not who Willow's character is. You know what I mean?
I totally get that too, because like I said, I like the fact that they're bringing it up, and Mercedes would be like, you know, listen, we have unfinished business. I never got to finish my match with you because of my freak injury. You put me on the shelf, whether you meant to or not, you put me on the shelf and we need to finish this business. I totally understood. The lights going off and Mercedes then proceeding to be almost hit by a chair by Willow. kind of weird. Because we already, if this was coming off of, like, you know, she had just been sprayed by the mist, you know, by Julia Hart, and, like, it looked like her and Sky, that I would understand. But, like, that had been, that's been dead for a while. So,
yeah, so,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, yeah, it was just, like I said, just confusing, and it might be something, you know, I'm going to take it as they did it to make you think. They did it to get you questioning.
Right, they want to put, like, seeds of, like, doubt into what this first match is going to be like.
Yeah, so, like, who's going to be the good guy, bad guy? And it's like, I don't think we're very, you know, I think they want to keep it unclear on what Mercedes
is going to
be.
Right, exactly. We don't know where the lines are drawn.
Because, like, me personally, I enjoy Mercedes, Mercedes, a.k.a. or formerly known as Sasha Banks. I prefer her as a heel. Always have. Like, I just think that's her better character, so...
Right,
you know, you want this love at first, but I don't think she's going to be staying face for very long.
Yeah, no, it.
You can't really call yourself the CEO.
That's the thing, though. Her character has always that's what the boss was and what the CEO is. Like, it's, I got money, like, I got all this, so. Like, and again, like, she's always had that attitude that has always worked so well from her and set her apart from the rest of the horsewomen, too. So, like, I can't imagine she stays babyface for long because, again, she's just so – I feel like she slides into that heel role so well. You know what I mean?
I finally listened to her song on its own, like, you know, not trying to listen through it through the crowd and heard the rapping and stuff. Not bad. So, doesn't bother me. You know what I mean? It just...
Sure.
It's interesting. Like how they present Mercedes going forward. Because, again, she's going to have a lot of input on how she's presented. How they present her and what it does for the women's division is going to basically tell you what the women's division is going to be going for, you know, going forward, right?
Yes.
Like, if this doesn't work... You know, I'm not, and Tony Khan, I doubt, will ever scrap the women's division, but it's like, if this doesn't work, if she can't pull eyes into the women's division, I don't feel like anyone can. It's like, right at that point.
We started, like, in the way that we started off with this right now, the excitement is still there. We're just kind of looking for a little bit of structure moving forward, you know what I mean? And some understanding of, like, where the lines are drawn.
Yeah.
Like, it had me excited and it caught me off guard. But, and I, like I said, I like the fact that we're getting Mercedes working with Willow, because, like I said, there's already familiarity there. But, like I said, just how they went about it kind of confused. But we'll move on to the AEW Continental Classic match between the Mad King, Eddie Kingston, and Kazuchika Okada. So this match started when Okada was hit with a bunch of offense from Eddie Kingston and was chopping him repeatedly. But then that's when Kingston proceeded to get DDT'd onto the floor. And what's going on, though, it was going for a little bit. There was one point where he got the spinning back fist and, like, looked to get the pinfall, but it was a close two. Okada tried to go for the Rainmaker, but Kingston blocked it. But then Okada gouges out the eyes of Kingston, hits the Rainmaker, and proceeds to score the pinfall in a pretty quick match, honestly. Like how long was this match? I can't even remember, like, what the length was on it, but, like, it was not very long, I remember.
It was definitive. You know what I mean? It was just like, Okada's here. This is, you know, he won the belt, and it was like, I think everyone assumed he was going to win. And it was like, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's like, the Okada match was kind of slow. And I was like, yes, I'm going to address that on the show. Because I just know some people are going to think that. Okada is going to appear wholly different from the rest of the AEW roster.
Yes.
He starts slow and he likes his matches to build. His best wrestling matches are in long-form storytelling, like 30 minutes or more matches. He is the New Japan main event style. So it's not going to look like Will Ospreay. It's not going to look anything like Will Ospreay. It's not going to look like a lot of your faster. Okada takes time. He likes the match to break down, and he likes to tell a story. So, you know, it's like you're going to have to be kind of, you know, when it comes to him, it's like it's you're going to have to be patient. For people that, and this is for people that are not familiar with Okada, I know a lot of the AEW fan base is. Like, I watched that match, and it was an Okada match. It was an Okada winning match. You know, it could have went harder. It could have went longer. But it's like, why give you this amazing match? And this is how I'm like, when, like, literally everyone knows the result. The way that they broke off the Continental title literally told you who was going to win this match. And they just gave you the match, and Eddie Kingston can move on. Okada's your champion. And I just, I'm looking for big things out of this belt. So Tony Khan did an interview. This belt is now going to be on its own. The Continental Championship, you're going to be the Continental Champion all year. All matches will be Continental rules, like nobody at ringside. And the Continental Champion is actually going to, when they do the Continental Classic, is going to defend his title in the Continental Classic. And the only way to keep his title is to win the Continental Classic. Now, I got to say, that is wholly different than anything we've ever experienced in professional wrestling. I don't know if I like it. I'm going to let it play out because that's what we do here. We're not going to jump to the negative. I'm going to let it play out. We got until December or November before the Continental Classic or October, whatever it is, however many people. But it's different. It's going to be uniquely AEW. But yeah, I'm interested to see how it is. But there's no better person to build a belt around than Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah, I see.
Excuse me. My apologies. I had that coming on and I had to get rid of it. It's like you felt that it took a while for it to get going. But like I said, once the match started, it felt like, oh, it was already over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like once Okada really got into his bag, that's how I was like, oh, it's over already.
Yeah.
So that's why it felt
Rainmaker over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It was like, yeah. It was
he
like,
does that. And he then proceeds to, like, that's when. Best part too, he got spooked by his own championship pyro.
Yes.
That was funny as hell.
The Young Bucks backstage, like, oh, and he's like, he's great. And you know, Tony Khan's like, yeah, he's really good. And he's like, puts his thumbs up. Tony Khan, man, I love him, but he can't act. And I love that about him. I love it. It's so real that he can't act.
I wasn't even going to talk about those guys, but that's fine.
Your favorites? Your favorite guys?
I don't even know who they are anymore. Like, they're not the guys that I remember, at least.
EVPs.
No, again, I prefer CEOs. Thank you.
Yes.
But then afterwards, the bastard pack walks out, and he stares directly at Okada, and he is back. And he wants to go after the Continental Championship. He wants to go after the Continental Championship. That's dope. Because, yeah. I mean, let's not forget, this man was the first when the AEW All-Atlantic Championship was when it was called. He won that. He was the first person to be that champion. So,
yeah. This is a take-my-money-please situation.
Very much, yeah. So this will be a match that you will want to see for
dude, so it's leaning towards that match, right? So we got a card that has not been announced, but it looks like we're gonna get Kazuchika Okada and Pac and Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay. Neither one of those matches is gonna be the main event.
Yep, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Man, if you like professional wrestling. You like professional wrestling. I mean, I don't know where you watch it. I always say it. It's so funny that the roster is coming together like it is, because before AEW existed, before anybody uttered the words AEW or you heard about a company, when someone asked me, what is your perfect professional wrestling? I said, New Japan wrestling with WWE storytelling. That was always my thing. I was like, man.
Oh, yeah.
New Japan wrestling with WWE storytelling. Kazuchika Okada, Will Ospreay in the same ring. They are with Mercedes. They are leaning with a little bit more of their storytelling towards WWE. So we are literally building My Perfect Wrestling Company.
Yeah,
New Japan Wrestling with WWE storytelling, which, like, that's just perfect for me, you know. And it's like, I mean, they got
it's very, very well.
Yeah, they got a ways to go, of course, because no, you know, nothing's going to be perfect. But there's perfect, and then there's perfect for me. This one's going to be perfect for me.
Yeah, no. And when they walked out, when he walked out to stare at Okada, I was like, oh, we're getting a banger match already. I know. We then had a backstage interview with Swerve Strickland, basically talking about how Samoa Joe tried to embarrass me by choking me out, and that's why he went after Samoa Joe. And he said, listen, I have a history of choking people out myself. I want to fight him, and I'm offering him an open challenge. He then had an interview with Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale, but then Mercedes comes out and goes and interrupts her, and that's when Chris Statlander said, listen, I've been meaning to say this. Thank you for having Willow's back last week. And he's like, Mercedes like, that's what a CEO does. A CEO stands up for what she believes in. And I'm excited for your street fight tonight because you know what they say, payback's a bitch. And Chris for having her back and said it was nice meeting her. Willow goes, I just wanted to say Mercedes, and Mercedes like, no, you've done enough. So again, still not sure. Like her saying, I just wanted to say, like, again, we saw you trying to like line up a chair shot. So like, I don't know what is supposed to be what you wanted to say exactly. It looked like you were about to do more, like, so hopefully we're gonna get more clarity moving forward there. So there's a lot up in the air for that. But moving on, we had Chris Jericho, Lionheart Chris Jericho, versus the FTW champion Hook. And I thought this was fine. Hook did a solid enough job. I felt like, I don't know, man. I got to the point where it's like I knew we were getting this match, and I just wasn't really excited for it. I just never really. When I saw this match was announced, it was the one thing I was not like heavily looking forward to. The one other thing too, I will say is that it was an interesting thing that he hasn't been like Jericho hasn't come out to Judas a lot. Like he's really gone in with him being Lionheart Chris Jericho again, which is interesting. I'm surprised that he's really stuck with that gimmick recently. I thought this was a fine enough match, but like I said, I just never really was huge into it. It was a big win for Hook, obviously, pinning Chris Jericho, pinning a former AEW World Champion. And they showed respect afterwards, but like again, I never really got heavily into this match when it came in. It was just when it was announced, I was already like, "Yeah, that'll be fine." And then it just kind of was, and I was like, "Okay."
It did, and at this point in Jericho's booking, was that a big win for Hook?
No,
it feels like Jericho has just lost to like everybody. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't know if that was a big win for Hook. I mean, he looked impressive with the things, but
on paper,
yeah, I would have liked him. Like that, I thought the match built to him just like dumping him on a head or choking him out, and then they had him roll him up, which made it even look even weaker after how the match had went before. It was just very confusing. I'm going to wait until next week and let them tell me what's going on, but up until this point, I'm like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, not at all.
Yeah, I need to get Hook out of this and do something else. You know what I mean? I just need Hook to be somewhere else. Adam Cole, baby, then proceeded to speak after this, and it was with the Undisputed Kingdom, and said, Wardlow, I hate the feeling of being disappointed, and last week you disappointed me. You challenged Joe for the Samoa Joe for the world title, and you failed. You had one damn job, and you failed. And I think I should be, and he says first, and then he goes, no, I'm sorry. You should be the AEW world champion. But now we have a new goal, and your new goal is to make sure the Undisputed Kingdom holds on to their gold that they already have, So make sure Taven and Bennett keeps the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles, and make sure Roderick Strong keeps the AEW International Championship, and then maybe we'll forgive you. So once again, Wardlow is in another faction that's treating him kind of shitty.
Yeah, I'm going to react to what's going on now. It's like, this is Wardlow's seemingly best position, and I see what they're kind of trying to do. Like, I think they feel like maybe they missed the first time under MJF, and he came out and he was all hot, and they didn't, you know, they didn't strike while the iron's hot and finish it, right? They didn't finish it. You know, they didn't finish with Wardlow. They didn't give him the world title or whatever people thought finishing it was. So they're going to kind of reset him. So he's going to be in this situation where he is, again, not necessarily like under someone else's thumb, you know, because, hey, the Undisputed Kingdom did exactly what they said they were going to do. They got him the world title shot. They got him a one-on-one shot at the world title, and he just lost, you know. So him really rebelling at first, you can see why he would listen to Adam Cole like he is right now. So, you know, he might not think he's good enough, but it's going to build to something, and I am looking forward to it. Again, this is a little bit of, this is what I'll talk about, the storytelling situation. They are, you know, you obviously it's going to build to Wardlow, you know, in Adam Cole, Wardlow, and the other group, whatever it's going to end up with. It's going to end up with Wardlow turning on the group. But how long are they going to sow the seeds before he does it? And, man, this Adam Cole thing, he I mean, literally, I don't know if you've ever watched the Inspector Gadget shows from the 80s. He looked he looked like Claw sitting there in that chair. All he needed was a cat. All he needed was a cat stroking it, saying, "You disappointed me." Like, yeah, it's like, he needs a cat. He needs a cat. Cole needs a cat. I didn't even think about that until right now. He needs an evil cat. Right now. Done.
They already have the giraffe. Remember the giraffe?
Yes. He needs something in his hands to stroke evilly. Maybe it's the mask, or maybe it's whatever he wants to do. He needs something in his hand to stroke evilly, because I thought he pulled off the evil thing really, really well. Like, I was like, oh, God, yeah. He just sounded like, man, if you disappoint me, he felt like the bad guy in a movie is like, you don't want to disappoint me because, you know, he's going to kill your family. That's what Adam Cole pulled that off in that promo. I thought he did a really good job in the execution.
Yeah. And again, it fits for, like, I mean, I understand why they're going after him, because everyone else has belts except for him and Adam Cole. But, you know, they're not going to mention that. But, but I get why they're going after him again. It's just funny that, once again, Wardlow's in a faction. He's being treated shitty. So, brother, man, you did this to yourself. Jericho then was interviewed backstage and talked about how he wanted to face Hook to see. He'd show me something that I hadn't seen in a long time. He's a future world champion. He said, you got my respect. And now he's had a proposition for Hook next week on Dynamite. We'll move over then to Will Ospreay, because Will Ospreay then proceeded to, first of all, say, you know, listen, last time I was here in Canada, I was a bit of a naughty boy after what I did at Forbidden Door 2. He's like, I've changed. I'm here for the betterment of AEW, which I thought was funny, him being like, I'm better, guys. And he said, listen, I said what I wanted to say about Bryan Danielson, but then on Collision, he had his match against Shibata, and he said, I hope all the lads studied that match against Danielson and Shibata, because that was pro wrestling. But in one breath, you said you were grateful to be stepping in the ring with me, but then said I couldn't walk in your shoes. Because maybe he's right, because when I would go over to Japan, I'd see his shoes, and there's no way I could fit in them because they're too small for me. What I did in Japan was elevating pro wrestling, but apparently I can't walk in your shoes. I can prove it, though, because he said, Shibata, long time no see. 7 years ago, he beat the piss out of me, but 23-year-old me is different than 30-year-old me, because now he has something to prove. So he challenged Shibata next week to tell Danielson to sit at home and watch, and then he'll show you what he's all about. So I love the fact that these guys are literally just being like trying to one up each other constantly. like, Danielson wants to wrestle Shibata. Okay, I'll wrestle Shibata. And, like, it's just, they want to just be the best at what they do so badly that they're one-upping each other constantly now. I love it. Honestly, this whole Danielson Ospreay thing of them just wanting to be the best and them showing each other up every chance they can because they know how good they are at this, spectacular.
Will Ospreay promo guy. I was not prepared for this. I got to be real. I wasn't prepared for Will Ospreay epic promo guy. This has been shocking to me, and I do think in this one, because, you know, every week there's a line. That dude said I got three pets, two pugs, a kid, and an old lady. I think he said an old lady. And most importantly, I got a point to prove. And I was just like, he does this amazing thing of cutting these fiery promos that are so fucking relatable. You know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah,
like a lot of people have what he just listed in that thing. And he's like, and he has a point to prove. And that's what he's like. He's like, here, he's like, if you experience life, you know, the 23-year-old version of you and the 30-year-old version of you are barely the same person. If you've had any growth or have done anything in life, they're barely the same person. So it's just like, it was such a relatable, such a thing. It's like, I mean, I can honestly say this. Will Ospreay is always an exceptional professional wrestler. That's what I always say. People ask me about Will Ospreay, I say he's an exceptional professional wrestler. You know, the other part of professional wrestling, the character work, the promo guy stuff, all that kind of stuff was always where I would say he's weak. And he, every week, he is saying, Floyd, you're a dumb fuck. Every week, he has proven every word I thought about him wrong on a consistent basis. And, like, if there is, like, a chart, like the AEW rankings of someone flying up my favorite wrestlers, it's Will Ospreay. I look forward to not just watching him wrestle. I look forward to what he's going to say. I look forward to everything about him. And it's just like, man, this is crazy how good at everything he is. He's a much more balanced professional wrestler character, all that, than I thought he was. And like I said, when he talked about restore the feeling, I am the feeling, dude, this thing, this promo might not seem like a lot to a lot of people, but this is that feeling. That person you want to root for, where you attach your success in life to their success. You want them to be great because that will make you feel good. And when you grab onto that, just like people have grabbed on to Cody's story, right? When people grab onto that, that's what truly makes a superstar. That's what truly makes a great wrestling story.
Yeah, and like I said, people are buying into this immediately, and it's just so good. It's my favorite thing going on in AEW right now, honestly. We'll move over to Timeless Toni Storm, the AEW Women's World Champion, and Mariah May facing the virtuosa Deonna Purrazzo and her tag partner, Thunder Rosa. First of all, the one thing I love about Mariah May, there's many things, but is that her coming out to Toni Storm's original entrance, they didn't even put Mariah May's name up there. It's still Toni Storm. Like, it's the best in the world that they didn't change a damn thing. It's Mariah May coming out to Toni Storm's old entrance, and it's the exact same thing. Like, I would have thought they would have done it, but just put Mariah May's name up there. No, it still just says Toni Storm. Like, so funny. But I thought this match was pretty solid. I loved seeing Thunder Rosa back on Dynamite and doing stuff. I felt like there was some solid work in here. I didn't think anything was incredibly like huge. I thought there was a good moment where like each person got to get their shine in. And there was a moment where the pinfall was taken by Thunder Rosa. And she proceeded to counter with a jackknife pin and get the victory. And into the camera as well. I thought it was fine. Like I said, I thought it was very like a pretty solid enough match. And I do like that Mariah May does Toni Storm's headbutt. I think her doing that is a nice little touch of her getting a little bit of her moves. It kind of feels a little bit like Toni Storm is being like the Miz to Mariah May's Damian Sandow.
Yes.
Or Damian Mizdow. That's what this feels like to me.
Absolutely.
And that's why I enjoy it so much. So, yeah, this match was all right. I thought it was fine enough. I thought it was cool to see Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo get the win, add up to them. And now Toni Storm can once again be like, Mariah, you're just not there yet, darling.
Yes. And I mean, when she lost, she just like felt bad for her, you know, like, oh my God, that's like my kid, you know, that kind of thing. And it's, I really enjoyed it. And then I like the Deonna Purrazzo, what's her name? Thunder Rosa stare down. Like they kind of not fully okay with each other. Like you betrayed me by getting the pin. You were supposed to help me win. You weren't supposed to win. You were supposed to help me win. And I like that because it's just like, oh, you asked for help. And you might have just helped somebody skip you in line to be the champion because she then gets a pinfall in the match. So, yeah. And again, Deonna Purrazzo, same thing to me. The virtuoso, the character, everything. I think she can make it work either way, but it works better as a heel. So I feel like something's coming with them. And, you know, and Thunder Rosa also had problems with Deonna Purrazzo's real life, one of Deonna Purrazzo's real life best friends. So, as I sit here constantly hoping to see a certain Dennis come back to wrestling, that might be her way back in.
It might be. But, yeah, I thought this was fine enough. We then had a really quick match between Swerve Strickland and The Butcher. The one thing I did like about this was Swerve just having his psychotic looking like evil grin that he has. He got the house kick, the house call kick, and then he hit the Swerve stomp, but then proceeded to actually get Swerve to tap out. He got Butcher to tap out with a submission. Excalibur even said that he thought this might have been even Swerve's first submission victory in an AEW ring, which is pretty nuts. Swerve immediately got back on the mic and said, before I met you, I had nothing but respect for you, but now I feel a little indifferent. And the way after I started disliking you, I'm getting close to hating you. And now I stand here with this chain in my possession. Every day I think about wrapping it around your neck and hanging it from the post, but I don't have a chain big enough for that big ass neck. So he said, you're going to keep sending security to watch your back, and I'm going to take them out until you give me what I want. And Joe then proceeds to come out and says, listen, what do I do with someone like you? Logic would dictate that I ignore you because I beat you at Revolution and shoved you down the championship ladder. You still think the impossible is possible, and you think you can box with a god. The problem with that belief is that it becomes infectious. All these people believe they can be great too, but when I show up and smash you in the face and take everything you have, that's when the realization, I know exactly what to do with someone like you. Give you exactly what you want. And then Don Callis comes out and he proceeds to be like, oh, well, apparently you can just put yourself into a world title match.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And Takeshita have the same amount of wins, but Takeshita is undefeated outside of the Don Callis family, so he's thinking that Takeshita needs to show you what it looks like to lose to the family. And said this isn't Swerve's house, this is Don Callis's house. Swerve then proceeded to be like, if I had more time and wasn't distracted by what I got going on, I'd burn the entire Don Callis family tree down to a crisp. And he accepted the challenge for Takeshita. And when he finished with him, he was going after Samoa Joe. So Kenosuke Takeshita versus Swerve Strickland. Kind of, I will say, Don coming out kind of threw me off. But the fact that we're getting Takeshita versus Swerve Strickland, I really don't care. Like, how they set up the match whatsoever. It's just the fact that we have the match. That's really all I care about. The Swerve and Kenosuke are going to do banger shit.
They really are. And I mean that's, again, dream match type stuff. And I do like that. I do like that we didn't go straight to Samoa Joe accepting Swerve and then a build to next month. There is a great match in there. There's Kenosuke Takeshita versus Swerve, a match we all wanted to see. It would have been great if it was in the Continental Classic, you know, so it would have just like, so, you know, I was like, oh, why is Takeshita not in the Continental Classic? We're kind of getting those matches, you know, we got the Will Ospreay, now we're getting Swerve, so that's going to be great. We're going to see what Samoa Joe has to do with it, and that's fun. And then the whole thing was, if I wasn't busy trying to be the champion, I'd burn the whole Don Callis family down. That sets up, if Swerve was to win the title, that sets him up for like an immediate feud right after that, if they wanted to go that way.
Yes. No, so I'm very much looking forward to that. So I love how they set that up. Finally, the main event of AEW Dynamite for the night was the TNT Championship I Quit match between Chris Jericho, the Patriarch Christian Cage, and the Rated R Superstar Adam Copeland. These guys beat the living hell out of each other. There is a point early in the match where they were fighting into the crowd, and they got into the penalty box, and I was like, here we go. They got in there. Some fan gave Adam Copeland a Boston Bruins jersey, who put it on Christian, and then another fan gives Adam Copeland a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey. He puts that jersey on, and then they just start trading fisticuffs in the penalty box. He pulls the jersey over his head and punches him in the gut. This is an awesome spot. I loved how Bleacher Report Open Ice shared it on their Twitter and all that kind of stuff, and it was getting around hockey Twitter. I love that. Drove me absolutely mad because, Copeland, I know you're a New Jersey Devils fan. I know this. So seeing you wearing the Maple Leafs, I was like, dog, like, you're doing this because you're in Toronto, but yeah, your skin must be burning right now. I'm just saying. But I'm never going to be against you beating up a Boston Bruin. I'm never against that. But I also can't stand the Maple Leafs. So that's just me.
There's
no good in this. There's no point for me to cheer in any of this.
There is no Ben Afflecks in. There are no Ben Afflecks in wrestling. What I've learned, like maybe CM Punk. Other than that, I have found when. The majority of wrestlers tend to be fair weather fans. So, hey, if I need a pop, I'll wear a Toronto jersey to get a
sure,
pop.
Sure,
that's not me. I have literally never wore a college shirt or jersey that wasn't Florida State in my life. Ever. Doesn't exist. I don't care if my life depended on it, I'd never put on a Florida Gators hat. Ever. Just wouldn't happen, you know? So that's just me, but I'm a little nuts. Adam Copeland's there to get a pop. And he's like, hey, Toronto people like hockey. Let's throw this on. Dude, if he could have had Drake give him a hockey stick, he would have done it.
That was just me because I feel one of few people who knows who is actually.
Yeah, I had no idea. I had no idea. But even like Christian from Toronto area, he roots for the Tampa Bay Lightning because that's kind of, he lives in that area now. It's like, I don't know what that's like. I have been a Florida State fan and a Kansas City Chiefs fan since I started watching sports. And I don't even know what it's like to switch teams, but they do what they can for the pop. If you look at Cody, wherever he's at, that's his favorite team. Whatever city's in. I used
pretty
to
much, say, yeah.
Yeah, like
also, yeah, I forgot to mention this too before the match even started. Toronto singing Metalingus. Holy shit, that was amazing.
That was cool because it was
like,
unexpected.
We've gotten so used to wrestling fans singing Judas and all that kind of stuff. This was genuinely like, holy shit. Like, the way they just came out and just started going down the chorus was fucking awesome.
Yeah, and I was talking to JR, and he was like, I don't know the words to that song. And I was like, dude. And I started singing along when they were singing along, and I didn't realize I knew the words to that song, but I've heard that song so many times that, I osmosis, it just sunk in. It's like, oh, it's so real. And yeah, like, I know the whole different tones or whatever. Even though I can't sing, I promise not to do that anymore. Austin's the singer of this show. But it was like, I was singing the words, and I was like, oh, dude, I do know all the words.
And
I have very few songs I know all the words to. So, I thought that was, it's cool. It was like, I remember the first time I heard it happen with Judas. I just thought that was the best thing ever. But to be in basically your home city, doing what you do, wrestling your best friend, and, you come out and everybody's serenading you with your own song, which is not a when you say that, like I said, most people don't think they know, but they knew every word, and it was
perfect.
It was perfect.
Absolutely. Adam Copeland proceeded to put a ladder over top of the guardrail and the announcer's table, and then proceeded to slam him down on it, and he fucking bounced. That was huge, and then he put it upside down and threw Christian in the middle of it, like, on his stomach. Copeland was beating the hell out of him early on, and then he proceeded to look to spear Christian through a table, but then Christian got out of the way and then threw him into the ring post, and Copeland was bleeding very much so. And then that's when Christian proceeded to splash through Copeland on through the table and then threw him into a ladder. And then it looked like Copeland was going to they both went for the spear and then hit each other with the shoulder in each other's shoulders. Shayna Wayne then proceeds to come up and get a hockey stick and low blow Adam Copeland. And then Christian then takes the stick and smacks it over his back and then grabs a barbed wire chair. And then it looked like he was going to go for a concerto with the barbed wire chair, but Copeland moves. That's when Copeland proceeds to take the hockey stick and full-on cross-check him. You get 2 minutes for that, motherfucker. But then he takes the drawstring from his pants and he starts choking him with it. The one thing I will say, too, it's always my thing with I Quit matches, the just guttural screams that go into the microphone and just the coughing and shit like that of they're just choking out everybody. Like, in the arena, that must sound really weird. Of just a man just dying on a microphone. Like, it might just sound just a tiny bit weird. Like, I can only imagine what people working in concessions and stuff like that are thinking when they're just sitting there waiting for people to come get concessions and they just hear just screaming in the back. Like, I can only imagine what they're thinking.
They're thinking, man, people watch this shit. No, that's what they're
saying. Exactly. I was going to say, goddamn, this is professional wrestling.
Yeah, no, it's something completely unique about an I Quit match. And I love it. It's the one thing in wrestling, like ladder matches, table matches, cage matches, all those have been overused. I Quit matches, what do you get? One a year? That's between all companies. That's not like, WWE does one a year, AEW. No, you get like one a year. So they're always special because they just don't happen that often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as the match goes on, Mother Wayne gets Nick Wayne in kill switch. They're holding Copeland and stomping him down, basically. That's when Mother Wayne slaps him across the face. And then Matt Menard and Daniel Garcia come out and they clear house, getting rid of Nick Wayne and kill switch, evening the odds. Copeland then proceeds to splash off of the ladder onto Killswitch and Nick Wayne. Then they handcuff all of them including, and then, like, they looked like they were going to handcuff Mother Wayne, and then she runs away. They handcuff Christian right into the corner, and then that's when Copeland, after spearing him, goes out and he gets Spike, which he introduced on Collision the week before. Mrs. Foley's baby boy with a little bit of the assist on that. He takes Spike and he proceeds to swing it and hit him between the legs with Spike. He looks like he's going to hit him over the head with it. But again, Christian, he said, "I quit." And your new TNT champion is the Rated R Superstar, Adam Copeland. He gets the win with the assist from Spike. This was a ton of fun, and it was a brutal match. I thought this was a fun match, honestly. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was epically, you know, them, and I really enjoyed this match. Like, I really thought it was to me the best you're going to get from Christian and Edge at this point in their career. Like they told the story really well, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I'm hoping they're done, personally, because not because of any type of hatred. I just really want to see Edge and Christian, or Adam Copeland and Christian, wrestle other people. You know what I mean? So if maybe they do that, a Cope open again. But I really enjoyed this match. This was a perfect match for Toronto. I'm glad both of them have this moment. I hope they're very proud of what they did in this match.
Yeah, 1,000%. It was everything I wanted for this feud. Bloody, violent, physical. Copeland's literally kicking Christian in the dick multiple times. Like, this is what I was waiting for. This was the blood match I was waiting for between these two guys, and it lived up to what it needed to be. We then move over to the Rampage side of things. Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta faced off against Powerhouse Hobbs and Kyle Fletcher in a wild card match for the AEW World Tag Team Tournament. So getting a little bit of our tournament in before the NCAA tournament started. Obviously, here's my thing. This is technically best friends, but it's also not best friends because, you know, I miss my boy Chuck Taylor. I miss Chucky T. I know he can't wrestle, unfortunately. But I've said before how much I wanted best friends to just be winning this thing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I've been shouting from the rooftops how great Best Friends is since AEW was a thing, and I want them to run wild on this tournament so bad. Hobbs and Kyle Fletcher did a pretty damn good job too in this. Getting the torture rack on Orange Cassidy was a great move, especially with how his back has been really messed up. And they went out of the gate with Hobbs hitting a spine buster immediately until Trent Beretta was able to break it up. This was a really, really nice match. I also thought the fact that Don Callis wasn't on commentary actually for once, and he was actually being ringside for this match, was a nice touch, because I'm normally tired of hearing Callis on every single Don Callis family match because his voice is grating. Trent did a great dive to the outside. Kyle Fletcher, I mean, at one point too, was like getting hit in the mouth so many times, like he was getting some blood coming out of there. And eventually after he gets hit with a spinning tombstone by Kyle Fletcher, Orange Cassidy is able to just get out of there, and then Orange Cassidy then hits a diving DDT and then the orange punch on Kyle Fletcher, and best friends Orange Cassidy and Trent, they move on in the AEW World Tag Team Championship Tournament. Like I said, huge for it. My biggest thing right now is that since this is best friends going after the tag team titles and stuff like that, my hope is that if they win, you enact the Freebird rule. That's my hope. I want the Freebird rule enacted so all three of them are champions.
Unfortunately, to get there, they're probably going to have to go through two extremely violent people.
I'm aware. I'm just saying, dreaming right now. I'm Freebird. Dreaming right now just so I can have my hopes.
I would love the Freebird rule. I am very open with Sue deserves her title.
Yes.
Not Trent. Not Chucky T.
Sue.
Sue deserves her title. And Sue rolling up to the ring in her car with the belt around her waist is what the world needs. So I am definitely I am rooting for Sue all the way, you know. Well, I forgot the St. Mary's chick, like Sister Jean, you know, I remember I rooted for St. Mary's because of the fan Sister Jean. It's like I root for the best friends because of Sue. This match was great. If Will Hobbs and Kyle Fletcher wanted to be a long-term tag team, it works. I think there is a speed and power balance there that could kick ass. But, you know, Kyle Fletcher is already one of the better tag team wrestlers in the world, and he already has a partner. So I can't wait for him to come back. But this match banged. This match banged.
Yeah, no, this is damn good.
Yeah, Orange Cassidy is one of the biggest stars in AEW as far as that. And then, you know, he gets the orange punch in. Everybody came out of this match to me looking stronger, and that's if you can pull that off, that's a great match right there.
Totally. We then had Shibata getting a squash victory over Kevin Matthews. So
KM, are you calling me a liar?
I was gonna say I knew you knew.
Yes, are you calling me a liar? I love that character. Such a bully. I love it.
Yep. So Shibata gets the squash win. We then have Konosuke Takeshita take on Rocky Romero. And this was fun, honestly. This got the crowd going. Takeshita is just one of those guys people love watching right now. He's just so great. And again, I love Takeshita too, just because of his undying love for the one and only El Generico.
Yes.
Seeing him break out the blue thunder bomb every time and the Haluva kick just makes me smile. I love it so much. I also love how he uses the Falcon Arrow. He used the Falcon Arrow to get the pinfall. Rocky also did a damn good job too, diving with a Tope Suicida, and then also really nice running slice bread that he hit too in the match. They did a solid enough job, and it was not a long match, obviously, because this one was cramped in there because they were losing time, obviously, with trying to keep up for this hour that they had going live. But they were able to do pretty well with the time that they have. Takeshita got the win, and I thought this was fun. I thought this was enjoyable, nice little Rampage match.
Yeah, this is Takeshita at his finest, where, you know, he can be the big dominant guy. I thought Rocky was a great balance. Personally, I would like this match to be a little bit more dominant for Takeshita, but that's just like a personal Floyd thing. Just put him over as super dominant, you know, going forward. I'm looking forward to next week. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. And then finally, the Rampage main event was the street fight between Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale versus the TBS champion Julia Hart and Sky Blue. These girls threw the kitchen sink, like, from the jump, because I think there was less than 10 minutes left in the show by the time that this match started up. So they were moving just to get to everything. There was a point where immediately they grabbed a chair in there and put Julia's leg through the chair. And Willow Nightingale then proceeded to get a table almost instantaneously. Then they got a steel spike as Sky Blue took that. And Julia took out a steel spike and charged at Chris Statlander with it, accidentally hitting Sky in the face with it. And then that's when Willow tries to go for a powerbomb, but Sky then hits the code blue on the announcer table, and that was a damn tough bump, too. And then Chris and Sky Blue proceed to each get their own bag of thumbtacks and then just stare at each other as they pour them in the middle of the ring. Sky Blue took Statlander and powerbombed her into the tacks, and then that's when Chris Statlander got tacks in her mouth and got hit, kicked in the face by Sky. And then Sky goes to the top rope, but then Chris was able to get out of the way as Willow got on the apron, grabbed Sky, and then put her through two tables on the outside and then hit a Death Valley driver through those two tables. And then that's when Chris Statlander tried to go for a 450 splash. Julia goes out of the way and then gets Heartless on Chris Statlander, and the TBS champion gets the victory as she makes Statlander tap out. This match was fast. They were getting to everything. It was very physical. And I thought they did a good job. I thought they did a really good job. That the powerbomb that Statlander took too, like she was a pincushion with when she got hit with that. Yeah, I thought this was a really, really fun, physical, brutal match. Obviously, the street fight that they have would probably be compared to the one that featured Dr. Britt Baker D&D, the one that made her like bloodied in a star with that match. But that match had way more time than this one. With the time that they have, I thought they got everything that they wanted to get out of it, moved it very quickly, and were able to get some extra minutes of overtime too. For Rampage, and yeah, it was physical, it was brutal, and it was a damn good match too. I thought they did a really good job with what they had.
Shout out to the greatest Street Fighter in women's wrestling history, Willow. Has more street fights than anybody. Like, if you want to say like a stat that doesn't match a wrestler's character,
it does not match her character.
It's like she's been in the most street fights. And no, I thought this was really cool. I thought it was like really cool that that she's in this match. That was Chris. I understand why Julia won, because if it looks like they're building to the eventual Mercedes versus Julia match, right? They're building for a Mercedes versus Julia match, but it was like, oh my God, you're also building to Mercedes versus Willow. So, you know, like I kind of wanted Willow to win, especially when she threw out the whole street fight stat. So I felt like that should be her thing is street fights. But, you know, she didn't technically lose, Chris lost. So yes. That's if you want to go there, she didn't really lose. But I really did enjoy the match, the execution. The level up, the revolution, the evolution of the women's division AEW has begun. Willow Nightingale main evented 2 shows in 2 weeks. Just remember that.
Yeah. That's nice to see, honestly. That's really nice to see. They are really going in with that, and they're being full throttle with that, and I do appreciate it. But that was AEW Dynamite and AEW Rampage. I thought it was a lot of fun, and there was some good stuff in here. There's still some stuff that, kind of was hoping for a little bit more, considering what we were previewed. But even still, I thought the show was very, very fun and very, very good. So I did enjoy that, the show overall.
Dude, I did too. And I'm coming out. I am going on no limb whatsoever. Dynamite and Rampage both air on the same night, Wednesday back to back, flat out.
So you say that, and then they announced that Rampage is going back to Friday next week.
Yeah, I know they did. I know they said that, and I get it. I knew they wouldn't. You know, there's TBS, there's contracts, there's a whole bunch of stuff that would have to go into that switching, right? It's just not like, oh, we're just going to put you on Wednesday now. No, right. So, you know, you got to sell the commercial time, all that stuff. I don't know. All the stuff I don't know about or care about, really. But I can honestly say, in the way it's presented on the 3 hours, right, it was just like, I think you would still need to do it the same way. I think Dynamite needs to be 2 hours. Do your regular Dynamite main event, and then you do an hour of Rampage. I wouldn't want it to be a 3-hour Dynamite, right? I just feel like as a separate thing, you get basically 2 main events. It made the show feel more together, and it makes Rampage less skippable. I mean, there's a lot of positives too. Pretty sure there's a lot of negatives people can name. A lot of Pearl's production stuff you can't do because you're shooting it live that day. Again, like I said, that's for them to worry about. But I can honestly say for me, watching 3 hours of wrestling on Wednesday and 2 hours on Saturday, just even though it's the same amount of hours, it feels like less time consuming.
I get that. And again, like I said, my whole reason behind it, at least, is the fact of
it makes our doing our show easy too. easier.
No,
too.
Exactly. It makes our show easier. I do agree with that. Okay. The one thing I would say, like I said, is the fact that Rampage doesn't feel like a show. It just feels like Dynamite's now 3 hours. And then eventually I feel like the Rampage add-on would just go away. And then Dynamite would just be 3 hours. Which, if you want to do that, that's fine. You can make Dynamite 3 hours if you want to do that. But having Rampage tagged on there is like when they would do the Monday Night Raw Super Show with SmackDown tied in on there because SmackDown was taped and no one cared. So that's what it feels like. But then Raw just became 3 hours anyway. So, and then they just called it Monday Night Raw. So that's what I feel like it would be if you went with that. Rampage would eventually just fizzle out and then Dynamite would just be 3 hours and then you wouldn't have wrestling on Friday. So that's the only thing. So like I said, I'm not against it, them doing it. It's just I think I know where that would end up being following.
Yeah, and let's just be real. You're probably 100% right. You know, like you're probably right. You're probably right.
Yeah. So, but we'll see if they end up trying to think about that. But like I said, Rampage will be back next Friday, and then Collision will also be back next Saturday. So we'll have that moving forward. So moving forward into what we have next week in AEW, looking at a little preview we have on Dynamite. It's been announced in Quebec City, they're going to have Will Ospreay versus Katsuyori Shibata, which is going to be fucking nuts. Konosuke Takeshita versus Swerve Strickland, another nuts match. And then the AEW World Tag Team Championship Tournament quarterfinal, familiar match that we've gotten before, in a tournament no less, Young Bucks versus Private Party. I am begging you. Zay, you and your boy. And Mark Quinn, you and Mark Quinn and Zay, do this again. I'm begging y'all. You did it once before. You can do it again. Get these jackasses off my screen. Do it now. Begging you.
They did not wrestle this tag team last time. They wrestled.
Yes, they wrestled a better one.
No, they
still won.
They wrestled some weirdos named Matt and Nick. And those guys didn't take the tournament seriously. They didn't understand. They weren't protecting what they built. These new, fiery Matthew and Nicholas, the extremely violent people, these Young Bucks that are here to protect what they built. They have an extra fire and an extra passion. The only reason they've lost the one match they lost is because they got jumped by 17 Stings. I saw it myself. Now, it's just 2-on-2. And on 2-on-2, not a lot of people can beat Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. So, hey, I'm rooting for Private Party. I love Private Party. This ain't water. But, you know, you got to really bring it on this. You got to really bring it to take out these people. I'm looking forward to that match because I think it's going to bang. It's going to be amazing.
All right. And then the one match that we have announced for Collision is the tag team quarterfinal match in the tournament, tag team championship quarterfinal match, FTR versus the Infantry.
You are going to hear a lot more thoughts on this on the All Elite Bracket Eliminator.
Yes.
But this should be fun. I'm going to save my thoughts for that show. But Austin, what do you think? What do you think about the breakdown of this match?
I think, like, again, Infantry has done a nice job showcasing their talents as of late. In the wildcard match, they did that. But this is FTR's match to lose, basically. And I think FTR... And they move on to the semifinals because these boys know what to do in these types of situations. And they have been tag champions for quite some time. And they want them boys back.
So Shatter Machine. Shatter Machine. No.
Just over and over.
Yeah, the boot camp. Yeah, I like the Infantry. And I even said it. Pretty much any other two guys in the company, I'm going for the Infantry. So
really,
yeah, I love Captain. I love Carly Bravo. I love their confidence. Earlier this year, I was watching way more ROH, and I saw them go from just like slowly get better, get their tag team rhythm down. I thought they were just a little jobber tag team, but over the last 6 months to a year, they have really come into their own and really developed who they are as a tag team. And I really like them. Liking the captain in real life probably, you know, has something to do with it. But yeah, I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for them pretty much against any other tag team in this tournament. They just happen to be going against my favorite tag team, you know, ever. So, sorry.
That's exactly. It's not gonna be easy.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I want your Lions to win. You know, I root for you. I root for your Lions, but the, you know, they went up against the Chiefs. You know,
that's how it goes.
You know, business, business. Yep. You know?
But that is what we got coming up this upcoming week. Now we have some additional news right now for some stuff that we want to talk about, some headlines. So Floyd, you want to go ahead and run down those?
Okay. These are not really headlines. You know, I've seen like clicks and all that kind of stuff. These are like super, the first one is a super unsubstantiated rumor. I want to make this clear. It's like, I just threw it on there so we could have a little extras to talk about at the end. I saw some rumor. I didn't even see where it was from. This shit could have came from wrestling headlines. So again, this part is not news. This is just a rumor that we're going to comment on. The rumor is Sammy Guevara, Ricky Starks, Malakai Black, and Miro are all looking to leave AEW for WWE. Again, unsubstantiated rumor. We are just kind of playing make-believe right now. I want this made very clear. I'm not breaking news. This is just us talking. Right. This is just us talking. So what do you feel about, let's go to the individuals. Who do you think would be the biggest loss of those four for AEW?
Honestly, Ricky Starks.
Okay.
I would say, because Ricky Starks is one of those guys where he came in, he was honestly like AEW, like all the way. You know what I mean? Like he was a guy that never was seen too much outside of AEW. So like he's seen as like kind of one of those AEW originals. Even though Sammy Guevara was there since day one, I would say he's the most AEW original out of all of them. But Ricky's the one I just feel like has so much like to offer. Like just not just wrestling wise, but and character wise, but promo wise, like this guy is untouchable. I think Ricky is so damn good. Malakai, I think, has done great work with the House of Black, but him going back to WWE wouldn't be a shock because, like I said, he was already there. And same thing goes for Miro. Yeah, guys, like I would understand at least if they wanted to go back, because I mean they still have a lot in the tank. If they wanted to go back, they could. Sammy would be interesting just because I don't know exactly how Sammy would fit in WWE. But I think the biggest loss for me personally, at least, even though I think this idea of all four of them looking to leave and they're all kind of tied in together, it's kind of weird, which is why this rumor feels very unsubstantiated. But if you were to have me say which one of those four would be the biggest loss, I would personally say Ricky Starks.
Okay. Again, I'd say Ricky Starks. I've heard a lot of rumors about Malakai. And
he's come out and addressed and like combated all rumors like that multiple times.
Yeah, but like the thing that his booking confuses me, because he's a great singles wrestler, right? Like a great singles wrestler. And there's all these like, I wouldn't call them dream matches, but matches people want. And he's a very popular figure in AEW, right?
Right.
But he doesn't wrestle singles matches. And like I said, there's the rumors that he doesn't want to lose and blah, blah, blah. I don't know backstage stuff. But the fact that he doesn't wrestle singles matches leads you to believe those rumors. You know what I mean? It's like, right. It's like, why isn't he in a title picture? Why, you know, when Orange Cassidy was international champion, why wasn't he going after that belt? It's just like,
right.
Why hasn't he bigger thing? So I'm pretending the rumors are true about like not wanting to lose. So to me, you're not losing anything in Malakai. Because if you can't get people to do what you want them to do, there's no reason for them to be in your company.
at some point you just want to be somewhere else.
Yeah, and you just let them, you know, let them, you know. I'm big on it. Right now, AEW is so deep. If somebody wants out of their contract, let them. Say, hey, you want out of your contract? Good job. Hey, good luck losing to Gunther. Okay, go for it. Ricky Starks and Sammy G. I'm a huge Ricky Starks fan.
As am
but
I.
But his push has been inconsistent. It's a yes. big. It's a complaint of this show. It's a complaint of this show. You know, he should be in the main event title picture before now. But now it's like the main event title picture is crowded. You know what I mean? It's like, what belt is Ricky Starks going after? It's like, you have Okada, you have Ospreay, you blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I don't want Ricky Starks to go anywhere, but I understand. And I would root for him hard in the WWE. Now, and I think he is the biggest loss. Sammy Guevara, I don't even understand why he would ever even consider going to the WWE other than the paycheck. Dude, he's the smallest guy in that company. Period.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to me, if you want a main event WrestleMania, right, look at the Fatal 4-Way at the Royal Rumble. If you don't look like you fit in that ring, don't go to the WWE. And he does not look like he would fit in that ring. I have no problem. I love Sammy. But he would have to go, he would have to find like the best personal trainer supplements and pretty much eat protein all the time to look like a WWE superstar.
Yeah.
I mean, he just doesn't. So, I mean, body style, style of wrestling, style of storytelling, he's an AEW guy, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't see as me not, you know, not knowing the life situation, the numbers, all that kind of stuff. I don't even see why he would even fathom going to the WWE.
Right.
So I like, but yes, Ricky Starks is a huge loss because Ricky Starks is so much good at everything. When Ricky Starks gets older, he'll be a great manager. If you want to put Ricky Starks on commentary, he would be great at that. You literally, he is the five tool player. He can cut promos. He can wrestle with anybody. Like I said, my biggest problem is inconsistency with Ricky Starks. Looked like he was about to be the guy, and then he wasn't. And it's just like, and that has been him for the last 2 years. So that would be the biggest loss. But that's the one person I would completely understand trying. Because
sure,
it's like,
at this point,
it feels like there's a glass ceiling for you in AEW, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. But that's our little talk about that. Okay. That huge, like, rumor.
That was a rumor. Now, this is something that came out today. MJF was removed from the AEW site, and all his merch was removed from Shop AEW. I asked the question, real or work?
I say work.
Absolutely work. I don't think there's any question. I don't think there's any question. I think his stuff getting taken down is just a sign that he's coming back soon.
Yes.
It's a sign that he's coming back soon. And I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, I'll play along if they want me to play along. But yeah, complete work to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I was hoping, I knew it wasn't going to spark that much conversation because I figured our answers would be the same, but, yeah,
no conversation, it's a work.
Yeah, and now all these people are like, MJF might show up at WrestleMania. I'm like, if he does, it's a handshake deal between Tony Khan and Triple H or something like that. That man, in my opinion, knowing nothing, not seeing any contract, that man is absolutely signed with AEW.
Yeah. No. Yeah, he's sticking with AEW for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, I mean, he has a pretty good physique, but I think AEW's home for him. I think he could go down as one of the greatest AEW stars ever by the time it's all and done, if not just being number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But either way, that is everything that we have for this week in AEW, and that's all we have for this episode. of all things Elite. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode. We really, really do appreciate it. And be sure to stick with us as we get into everything leading up to the eventual build towards AEW Dynasty. It's going to be a huge, huge show that we already like got two big matches for. And I'm so, so excited for that show. But please keep listening to us if you for downloading this show on soon to be YouTube or Apple Podcasts. And also if you listen to us on Spotify. Or wherever you choose to listen to us, please give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And follow us on Twitter at ATElitePod. Also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible and have incredible other podcasts you guys should check out. I am at Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And he, my good buddy Floyd, he is going to take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
And as the 0 o'clock hits and Utah State beats TCU 88-72, I am happy to announce this might be the first time ever for me. Friday, March 27th, today, I am 15-0.
Look at you.
I have not missed one today. Again, the first time I watched college basketball game in its entirety was yesterday. I know nothing about these teams. This is complete luck, and this is the dumbest luck I ever had. And I'm not in any competitive brackets. I didn't, like, join any of my, like, friends or the Social Suplex bracket. I just did the one on ESPN. The year I don't compete with anybody, I fucking dominate. Like, at worst, I'm going to finish 28-4. Yeah, 28-4. But, yeah, kind of need St. Mary's to get their ass in gear because I want my perfect day. Because, you know, it'll be fun. To all, everyone, I hope you all enjoy your weekends. If you watch college sports, enjoy it. This is probably the best time in sports year. You have the Final Four, Major League Baseball season, the Masters, WrestleMania. This is like, if you're like a person that just likes sports, this is probably the best time of year. It's the golden month of sports. So enjoy your time. If you're not a sports fan, go see Ghostbusters 2. I saw it today. It wouldn't be 2. But it's Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. That's what it's called. It was really good. It's kind of slow in the middle, but the beginning and the end make up for it. Very entertaining movie. Annie Potts, 71 years old, still hot. Still hot. All day. Annie Potts, how you doing? But everybody have a great weekend. Spend as much time with your friends and family as possible. And Kenny Omega, get well soon. I will leave you all like I always leave you. Whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.